interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, 1031, Halloween edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, beginning live and treating you at the Taproom River Ranch. Glad to be with you. Ben Love here. And the famous Clint D in tow from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. And for the next 2.5 hours, we've got a heck of a show. So keep it locked on 1037 The Game. Already this place is packed. We've got people dressed up as the Peaky Blinders. We've got Run DMC. We've got Skeletor. We've got a referee. I'm not sure if that's a Saints dig or not, but Halloween is in full effect at the Tap Room in this place. Is having a lot of fun, and hopefully you're finding a way to have some fun today considering what happened last night at Minute Maid Park. So here's our game plan. I'm leading off quick thoughts on the Stros dropping Game 7 of the World Series and a regular season that was historic ending with a thud in Houston. So I'll give you my thoughts on the Astros, but I will lift your spirits up at the end of this segment. No, I'm not giving you that old Chicago Cubs, wait until next year, Notre Dame, Fighting Irish, win one for the Gipper, BS speech. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you trick-or-treating advice straight from the mouth of Mike Leach. And so, yeah, we come out swinging on Halloween. Quickly, though, my thoughts on the game and the series. Zach Greinke was incredible last night. He displayed the type of control. He flashed the type of glove that reminded you this is why he was that dude at other stops. And I'm talking Cy Young worthy when he was with the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Diamondbacks. Greinke, let us not forget, was a stud. And he looked like it last night. He's never going in his modern, phase of being 36 years old. He's never going to cross about 91, 92 miles an hour. But the control was masterful. And the glove work was incredible. I think Greinke was on cruise control, and I wouldn't have pulled him as quickly as Hinch did. That's the first thing that jumps off the page to me before we go anywhere else. Stros lose 6-2, of course. They fall 4-3 in the 2019 World Series. I wouldn't have pulled Greinke as quickly as they did, despite giving up the opening run of the game from the Nats. Now, I like the idea of Cole being next in line. Garrett Cole, that is. I like that idea while watching it live, and I still kind of feel that way. After all, the Nationals went down swinging with arguably their best pitcher that was left in Patrick Corbin. I think Cole would have been the pick to click in that situation. And Hinch saying in the post game, we only wanted to put him in with the lead. Well, you had a lead. You chose to pull Greinke earlier than I would have, but when you pulled Greinke, you had a lead. So that one's hard for me to really sink my teeth into. And it's hard to blame Will Harris as well. I think he was incredibly overutilized in the series, the playoffs. And plus, my opinion, guys hit out great pitches from him over the last two nights. The reality is this. Will Harris was on a one-year deal this season. He earned himself some change with his performance in the playoffs. He may be remembered for giving up the two jacks in Game 6 and 7. Will Harris earned some coin, and hopefully he'll get that money staying with the Houston Astros. It was not Ryan Pressly. It was not Roberto Asuna. But thank God that the Astros had Will Harris, because he was their best all postseason long, and it's hard for me to blame the former LSU Tiger the spot that he was in. The final thing I'll tell you is this. The team with clutch hitting won the World Series. The Astros really didn't have it. I understand they won 3 in a row in the nation's capital. I know that they brought the boomsticks to Washington, D.C., but they didn't always have timely hitting. And at home, I mean, they suffered from a lack of it, utter and complete. It was like that during the regular season when Verlander pitched. It was like that in the World Series and the postseason when Verlander pitched, poor JV never really got a whole lot of support. But the fact is, even in a win or, well, season over, no parade, no trophy, Game 7, even in that scenario, without Verlander involved, the Strohs couldn't do enough. And so, Clint, I say it all the time on this show. When it comes to professional sports, especially when you have series involved, hottest and healthiest team wins. Health didn't really play as big of a factor. The Strohs, by and large, were right for this series. So were the Nats. I know that Max Scherzer had an issue with his neck. Looked pretty good to me last night. Certainly good enough to keep his team in it. Ultimately, they win the ball game. But both teams, I think, were healthy. So that was the common denominator that didn't really tilt the scales one way or the other. Hottest and healthiest wins. If you take healthy out, hottest team wins. The Nationals, since a woeful start to the regular season, they were that. Sure, the Strohs won 107 games. And, yeah, the season's a disappointment because they didn't win the World Series. When you're as good as they are, I think that's fair to say. Hottest team wins. It's like that in the NBA Finals. Of course, you could think about that last year. Raptors, they were healthier than the Warriors. Hottest and healthiest wins. Hottest isn't always the same as best. And I'm not telling you that the Strohs were the better of the two teams. They were in the regular season, but that doesn't really mean a hill of beans right now. And so you start to spin things forward. Boy, a whole lot of opportunity for Houston to continue to be one of the league's absolute best. 8 of your 9 positional players return. Verlander returns. Greinke returns. Osuna returns as your closer. They're likely, I believe, to be without Gerrit Cole. But I'll save that for a certain throwing shade segment of the 5 o'clock hour. But this Astros team, they're not going to be dead and buried just because they lost that game and lost this series. But the hottest team won, and the team with the clutch hitting won the ball game. We'll talk more about the Strohs later in the program. But anytime you have a Game 7, especially when we've been living and dying with the Strohs on Acadiana Sports Station since April, had to give a final sign-off on the season and the series that was. All right, now it's time to put a pep in your step. You're taking the kids out for trick-or-treat tonight. You don't need advice, you know, from good old grandpa or grandma. You just need to go to the best orator that we have on planet Earth today. And he is not a politician. He is a football coach for a middling Pac-12 program. And the head pirate is just delightful. Here is Mike Leach and how you need to trick-or-treat.
Mobility. Make sure you have mobility with your costume. Make sure you can get around. Make sure it's warm enough so that you can get as much candy as possible. And then as soon as you get it, immediately hide it. Because your brothers and sisters will try to steal it, especially older ones. I was the oldest, I know. And then the other thing is you know, make sure the good stuff is out of the regular stuff, because if they find your stash, you don't want them to find the good stuff, like the full big Tootsie Roll or like the candy bars, you know, the full candy bar, not those little bitty two-inch ones, you know, that type of thing. So, oh, and then how about the dentist? We had a dentist to give you a toothbrush. That's what you got, a toothbrush with, hey, by the way, here's my dentist's office, come there. Yeah.
The man is amazing. And I did have a dentist on my block growing up. We didn't get the toothbrush. We did get the dental floss. So keep your kids away from the dental floss. It is what they need. It's not what they want. Tonight's about what they want. And the big Tootsie Roll, like the head pirate said, keep your eyes on the prize for that big Tootsie Roll. As it happens, we've got some big Tootsie Roll type guests. They're just that type of candy that you put in the bucket, Nico Yanko. Stepping aboard in exactly 20 minutes, we'll talk UL Raging Cajun's homecoming this weekend. So Nico with us at 4:30. Gordy Rush plugged into his usual spot in the lineup, straight up 5 o'clock, talking LSU football, getting ready for Bama during the bye week. And from 6 to 6:30, Blaine Viator sits in. We're talking prep football. We're going to revisit our Acadiana area top five, and we do have some shuffling at the top. We've also got power rankings and power points discussion as we get closer to the playoffs. So sit tight. We got treats coming your way. I wouldn't trick you. After a brief timeout, we're right back to the Taproom River Ranch with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Just sending some spooky Halloween vibes out there. Clint, you got to tell me, what exactly is it that we're coming back into? I'm hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch, and you're playing what?
Alice Cooper, Feed My Frankenstein.
There we go. Okay, occasionally you give me a little bit of a lyrical and musical education. This would be one of those times, and now I want everybody to get involved. We're going to collaborate. You know it's going to be Halloween-themed. You know I'm tying it into sports. And I think we found the perfect way to do that. So without any further ado, let's dive right in. It's the Sink or Swim question of the day, and you get it right after the music.
Love, exciting and new.
Your Halloween edition, Sink or Swim question of the day. What is the spookiest sight in all of sports? It's open-ended. You can give me modern day. You can give me historical. I've intentionally left it up to your discretion. I just want to hear from you. 706-0111. Relay your response on social media as well. At 103.7 The Game on Facebook or Twitter. The spookiest sight in all of sports. Clint, I'm feeling good today, so I'm leading off, brother. And I brought some sound to back up what I'm putting on the ground here. I think that it could be middle linebackers just staring into the soul of your quarterback, especially when they're coming barking down pre-snap, and you know they're coming in on the blitz, and they just want you to know that they're ready to come bearing down on you. And I brought some sound, like I said, because there are a couple of guys that I think historically have instilled a lot of fear into opposing quarterbacks. I'll go back to those 85 Bears and Mike Singletary. Oh, I think he would have loved Halloween.
I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
Yeah, you don't want that guy coming in on you. And I don't think you want Ray Lewis either.
You can't hurt this. I'm a machine, Kirk. Don't care my job.
Yeah, those guys, there's so many of them. Mike Ditka, you don't want those guys coming down. Mike Ditka, listen to me. Dick Butkus, you don't want those guys coming downhill on you. So I'm going to say middle linebackers that are about to creep up on your quarterback and offensive line. That might be amongst the spookiest sights in all of football. All right, Clint. So aside from me trying to introduce a tight end as a middle linebacker there, I think some decent submissions. What say you?
Oh, no, those are some strong submissions, Ben. And this one, I just find, I think we got to bring it up. When you have a running back, or maybe even a fullback in some cases, back when fullbacks were a lot more of a big deal. I'm going to bring up Leonard Fournette because recently kind of some stuff popped up on the internet of him laughing when he's getting tackled over the weekend in his most recent ball game. You got to think of a guy like Leonard Fournette when you're, especially peak Leonard Fournette back when he was at LSU, anytime you were going to be in front of him, you knew he was going to bring that truck stick. So you weren't looking forward to seeing that on the field.
Yeah, I think that LSU Auburn 2015 Fournette would be a pretty scary sight. I'm with you on that. And he's literally throwing you off of him. He's got people that are going under him, over him, around him. He is truck sticking them. Yeah, some of the league's most fearsome running backs to ever do it, I think would bring a lot of fear. But that's just on the football side. You really could take this and run with it in a lot of directions. Because I have one more. And I know, I think Clint's taking our first submission over the air, so we'll get to the phone lines momentarily. But I can't help but think that there are certain guys as relievers and closers that as they're making their way out of the bullpen, you just kind of say, oh, bleep. Especially if you're a fan, you just kind of say, yep, all right, that is the end of that. And the ironic thing is they're not necessarily always big guys. These middle linebackers, these are big, bowed-up, bad mamma jammas. But I think that Mo Rivera coming out of the pen, and they're playing Enter Sandman, I think in its own right, that could be a pretty scary sight in sports. If you're the opposing team, manager, fans, you catch my drift. So we'll take some of yours. 706-0111, spookiest sight in all of sports. Now, I think that there are some who are going to take this and twist it a little bit, and hey, that's the point. I'm okay with that as well. But the idea that, okay, we're putting this player into the game, or, okay, we're going into prevent defense, that's another one that occurred to me pretty quickly on this. My team going into prevent defense and only up, say, about 14 or 17 in the second half, that might be the spookiest sight for me. Oh, okay, we're going to allow 10 to 25 yards chunk plays at a time and just hope that we hold on to this one. That is our plan in this game. Yeah, I think that one goes way up there as well. So we'll take those. And don't forget, we got great guests that are coming aboard. In fact, our first of the day just showed up. He'll be with us in less than 10 minutes. Nick Oyanko, the deputy AD for the UL Raging Cajuns, will be talking homecoming this weekend. Gordy Rush with us at 5 o'clock, talking LSU football, and Blaine Viator at 6 on Acadiana area prep football. But right now, we'll take our first call aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Monty, welcome in. What you got for us?
Hey, I'm sorry, it's Lonnie. I got a cold today, but let me throw this out. I'm going to take you way back, Ben, see if you – this may even be before your time. But Dave Smith of the Oakland Athletics, looking over his glove, staring in from the mound, was a menacing sight. Was actually terrifying until the guy started speaking publicly, and he had the most whiniest voice ever. But, boy, his stare was just a tough one to deal with. I would have loved to have had the opportunity to bat against that guy.
I love the submission. Lonnie, thanks for the dial. And I remember some Dave Smith. Thank you, brother. That's good. And we got time for more. 706-0111. Spookiest sight in all of live on remote radio is Clint texting me a name and me saying it over the air. No, I'm just kidding. That happened in studio yesterday, so it could happen anywhere. CD, we're just having fun, brother. But let's have some more fun with this. Spookiest sight in all of sports. Dave Smith looking over that glove and coming downhill at you. I think it's possible that if you're Karl Anthony Towns, the spookiest sight in all of sports is, well, realizing that Joel Embiid is coming at you and former LSU Tiger Ben Simmons is going to put you in a headlock down on the ground. Yeah, we caught that last night. That was something. We usually don't get a lot of mileage out of our NBA quote-unquote fights. Again, that one felt a little bit different. No haymakers landed. Again, Benny Simmons comes in with a little chicken wing chokeout action. Pretty comical. But Joel Embiid going toe-to-toe and wanting to prove a point there with Cat Karl Anthony Towns. And then, yeah, he rubbed his nose in a little bit with some social media posting. I'll share that later in the program. Clint, I would tell you this as well. I am a relative noob to the world of UFC. You know this about me, so I'll let you educate me. When it comes to UFC, what's the spookiest sight? Is it a certain move? What's the spookiest sight within the confines of UFC?
In terms of the UFC, I think especially in recent years, we've seen a lot more of these like 3-4 second knockouts where one dude is just running straight at you with like a flying knee, like we saw a couple months ago with Jorge Masvidal with a 5-second knockout, which I believe is the UFC record. Just something like that. Yeah, some dude just running right at you, ready to just knock your you-know-what out. That's spooky.
I'm going to offer up late 80s, early 90s Mike Tyson as well for the boxing
Definitely. Side.
And now we're going to take another submission aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Patrick, thank you for waiting. Patrick, what's your spookiest sight in all of sports?
Yeah, Ben, I don't remember who the batter was. So whoever the batter was having to face Randy Johnson after he destroyed the bird, that had to have been the scariest moment in all of baseball history.
He absolutely eviscerated and just vaporized that bird, Patrick. He killed it. I mean, literally.
Yeah, I could not have even imagined trying to take that next pitch in him. No, I would have just stepped out the batter's box and been done with it.
Yeah, that'll be the end for me, too. Patrick, thank you, man.
Thank you.
It's got to remind you a little bit of Major League when your boy Rick Wild Thing Vaughn decapitates one of those wooden fake batters, right? Is that the equivalent of Randy Johnson just sending feathers everywhere, knocking a bird literally out of the sky more than a shotgun can, and then you got to step back in? No, that's that's probably good. Probably going to hold off on that. One thing I will tell you, to hit the accelerator on your vehicle, come out to the Tap Room River Ranch and enjoy the new fall cocktail menu. Irish Eyes, the L.A. Tap Smash, Perfection, a Pick Your Poison, and a Southern Sidecar, just some of the newest items on the fall cocktail menu at the Tap Room River Ranch. And don't forget, tonight they'll have live music 8 to 11 with no cover charge. So enjoy Halloween and start your weekend early with us. All right, we'll be right back in talking Raging Cajuns football and more with Nico Yanko. Don't go anywhere. After a brief timeout, you've got more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
And we've got a special guest that's going to join us as we return to the Tap Room River Ranch. Having a lot of fun, a Halloween edition of B2BS. And as we welcome in Nico Yanko, Deputy Athletics Director for the UL Raging Cajuns. All right, Nico, I look around us. We've got the Peaky Blinders. We've got Run DMC. I think a Skeletor is hanging out, and you and I are just dressed up as a couple of hardworking dudes.
That's right. That's it right here. But, wow, this is pretty entertaining. These Peaky Blinder guys and the Run DMC, I think, take the cake here today. So far.
It is still early, just after 4:30 in the afternoon. And this season still feels kind of in its early stages, if you will. It's crazy that the Cajuns have only played 7 games, and tomorrow's November. But a 5-2 start, it's been a lot of fun.
It's a great bit of momentum going right now for this football program, and what a wonderful fall it's been. You know, before we start talking a little bit of X's and O's with football, you know, I think we need to compliment Lance Key and that soccer program for all he has going on. They're postseason eligible now for the first time since 2016. You know, volleyball's on a little bit of a run right now. Men's and women's basketball starting to get rolling. But how about football? Those Cajuns are doing all right. You know, 5-2, get a chance to come out here at homecoming on Saturday at 4 o'clock against Texas State. With a chance to get bowl eligible only eight games into the season. And to me, I'll take that any day of the week or any season out of the program's history. And I think we're excited about it, man. We're looking forward to a packed Cajun field this weekend.
Cajuns have been winning ball games at home in front of bigger crowds. That's important. I point to road victories, and I've been very impressed. I don't know how many seasons the Cajuns have won in Statesboro and in Jonesboro in the same year. That is a tall task. You throw in a win at Ohio. Yep. And look, those Bobcats, they've not only been bowl eligible, they've been a 9-win team each of the last couple of years.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This is a team that was competitive with Mississippi State, neutral site. They've been very good at home and flawless on the road so far.
We're rolling. You know, we're having a lot of fun with it. Obviously, you know, I'm really looking forward to us putting together a complete game. I still don't think we've played our best game yet. And that's going to be a lot of fun when that starts happening, but which could be this weekend. But at the end of the day, yeah, you're right. I mean, to pick up a win at Arkansas State, Georgia Southern, played Mississippi State to the ropes, and that was with several turnovers that we didn't need there. So, again, you're looking at a team right now that gets better every single week. You took on the MAC, you know, they were picked to win their conference this year.
The MAC Daddies.
That's right. Yeah. So we're looking at a lot of good things going on right now with that football program. Coach Napier really has that team motivated. They're playing for each other. They're hungry. They're playing for this university and community. And like I said, we're looking for a great opportunity to pack Cajun Field this weekend, get folks out, come see this team play. They're a lot of fun to watch, whether that be on offense, defense, or special teams. They dominate on all three phases of the game, and we're looking forward to obviously letting folks come out, celebrate a little bit late Halloween with us. It's homecoming. A lot of festivities going on, particularly tonight. I'm going to run from here to Yell Like Hell over on campus. That'll be a fun one. And then from there tomorrow, you got everything from the Bill Bass Golf Tournament, our Hall of Fame, a great volleyball matchup at EK Long, and then into Saturday where you got the parade, all the game day tailgate festivities that we have going on. At Russo Park, you're going to have an opportunity to come out and watch the baseball team knock out some BP. So we're going to have some fun with that too, and then top it off with the big game.
Cajuns Deputy AD Nico Yanko, good enough to join us live at the Tap Room River Ranch. Homecoming. You've got an opportunity to bring a big crowd to Cajun Field. Last time you and I spoke, I think it was maybe the first two or three weeks of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
How about the response now that you've had several home games, a big one we know on Thursday night a few weeks back, the new policies that have been implemented, especially with the fan-friendly concessions? Yep. I guess your thoughts and the feedback you've been getting so far.
Wonderful feedback. Good, and areas where we have opportunities to improve. And I think I'm as equally as excited about those as I am about the positive feedback. So what we've seen so far this year, you know, obviously we've implemented a few things since Brian and I got here back in the fall of 2017, and that's everything from all the new game day festivities, opening up Russo Park pregame, the kid zones, you know, the student tailgate, which we'll get into that in a minute, I'm sure. But, man, those fan-friendly concessions have been just rave reviews. Dollar hot dog, $2 beers, $3 burgers, you can't beat it. Last game against Appalachian State, you had over 21,000 people in the stadium. I'm only looking for us to increase that significantly going into this weekend. And that's, you know, a call to Cajun Nation. We need you there to make that a home field advantage for our guys. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that you have a wonderful experience. Now, I will say, we'll address it here, but the last home game against Appalachian State, you know, we had some lines in the concession stands at times throughout the game. And we're going to ramp up in partnership with our concessions vendor, Sodexo, and adding in more professional staff to make sure that those lines are moving swiftly, efficiently, and certainly with great customer service, as always. So we want you out there. Let's have some fun. Take advantage of those dollar hot dogs. If we can sell 3,000 hot dogs this Saturday, I think that'd be a Cajun Field record. So let's do that, plus 30,000 people, and let's get a big win.
I love it, because I wanted to come back with some of the good and the bad, but you already addressed areas of improvement, right?
Yeah.
I would say the good, one of the big tallies in the good column would be the student section.
That's right.
My wife and I have had the season tickets for a while now, and I've never seen a student section like the App State game. And it wasn't just the volume, but it was, you know, the blankets that are rolled down with the signs for the fraternities, the sororities. I mean, there was actual representation by the student body. And then kind of shouting out who they were and why they were excited to be Cajuns.
That's right. We love the momentum building there. And that's, one, I got to compliment the student leadership team that we've been able to put together through what we call our student supporters organization. That's everybody from the SGA, the university groups that make up a lot of different divisions within our campus. And we've pulled them all together and created this support organization, along with our marketing team led by Connor Whalen and a few other folks, Emmy Logan and now Jake Longnecker. So we're having a lot of fun with that, building great relationships, giving them a lot of ownership. And I think that's key, just like any fan. You want to come out, you want to be able to plant your flag, and those kids are going out representing their fraternities or coming out and tailgating. You know, we moved the tailgate back to Cajun Field, which was so vital to creating that game day experience that when they were moved over to Bourgeois Park, they didn't have that opportunity. You were disconnected. It was too long of a walk, so they weren't coming to games. For now, we're moving them over, and, hey, we're opening up that stadium. That south side of the stadium is open to traverse pregame. So there's no reason that you can't come over there, use nicer restrooms, have access to great concession stands, particularly on that south end zone, take advantage of the fan-friendly concession prices all day long. We've partnered with a lot of local organizations here in town, obviously Tap Room and kind of their brethren, you know, whether that be Pete's or Social and everything there. They've done a wonderful job supporting us on a lot of fronts, as well as KOK, which is a student hit. We know that's a big deal for our students. They like that chicken over there, and the fries, they do a wonderful job with the fries. We just had lunch over there on Monday. But those guys do a wonderful job for our students and really attracting them out. Plus all the new incentives, whether that be a pair of Yeezys every home game, you know, the competitions in-game. We're trying a lot of different things there that really helps create a wonderful experience for them so that we know they want to come back. And that for us is everything, to know that not only are they coming and spending their time with us once, but I know we're going to get them back for the other five home games throughout the season. And, you know, that's a part about building that fan base, particularly an area that a lot of college campuses have problems with. Well, right now, we can sit here and say our student organization and our student attendance is only getting stronger.
Bought in.
So we're going the other direction here, which is a good sign. But there's still a lot of good things that we can continue to implement and try, and I think we've done a good job of being creative. But I think it comes down to engaging making it very affordable and adding value to everything you're getting at the Cajun Field. And then also just the activation and the engagement there in-game is also equally important. Plus, you know, students have so many distractions just like every other part of our fan base. You know, when you're dealing with multi-generational fan bases, certain people like to watch and listen to games different ways, and students are attracted to these little devices we hold in our hands every day. So how are we connecting with them and communicating it to them on those platforms? But it all comes down to relationships and just trying to figure out what everybody wants so we can roll off the red carpet for them.
Nico, humor me for a minute on Billy Napier. Your athletic department, about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks, extended his contract.
That's right.
The thought that went into that, why the timing, and then the good problem of trying to keep a great rising star around on campus.
You know, I'll tell you, Coach Napier is all in. You know, this guy has given everything he's got to get that football program heading in the right direction. And he's done a great job conducting, putting a wonderful staff together, which was just equally as important as Coach Napier himself. And he would tell you the same thing, being the humble guy that he is that team around him does a wonderful job. And he's the right guy for the job. You know, part of that extension, you know, was in the previous, you know, contract, I guess you would say. So you have to exercise that extension through that process, which is such a big deal, particularly in how competitive the market is out there. So I think for us with Coach Napier, we're in a great place. This guy's committed. I'd say he's got blinders on. To where he's focused and dialed into everything we have going on here. He takes it one game at a time. You know, he's not looking ahead to a potential, bowl game or Sun Belt championship game. He's worried about Texas State and then the quick turnaround to Coastal Carolina. So we got a lot going on here, but it's absolutely important for us to show our commitment to Billy, this fan base to show that commitment, because Billy and that team have done everything, and they're only going to continue to find new ways to be great representatives and ambassadors for this university while winning the right way on the field play.
Nico, we've been tracking this storyline for months on the program, but knowing that the select schools in high school football in this state, the now LSA, right, the Louisiana Select Association, knowing they won't be playing their football championships at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, and now that we know more than likely the Cajuns won't be hosting the Sun Belt Conference title game, does the possibility at least exist that those games could be at Cajun Field?
Yeah, there's definitely a possibility there, Ben, that you, again, now let's say all stars align. I think we would still try to find a creative way to make this happen. But even if we end up going somewhere for that potential championship game, which we hope, you know, and expect to play in, you know, I think that's key. But also on that end, I think there's an opportunity that those LSA games could and should be played at Cajun Field. And we hope we can do everything we can with our city partners, the LSA organizations, obviously Ben Berthelot with the Eat Lafayette group. I think they've all done a wonderful job, and we've had a lot of great dialogue about that. And our university wants to make sure that we can recruit those teams to come play at Cajun Field, which brings great exposure for the university, our Lafayette community, and puts us in a wonderful position for us to continue to showcase all the great things we have going on. Plus, let some young guys get out there and have some fun, right?
They love it at the Jamboree. If something the caliber of a state championship was on the line, man, it would be all the greater. And I think this community would absolutely flock toward it. So
that's right.
I'm happy to hear it's a possibility. Look forward to talking more about that.
Yeah.
And look forward to homecoming for the Raging Cajuns. 4 o'clock this Saturday, Texas State comes to town. Cajuns with a great opportunity to move to 6-2. And then from there, a lot of things are possible.
That's right. We're really pumped about it. Again, thank you for letting me come on and just talk about all the great things going on. You know, I'd mention, just to compliment Dr. Maggard and all the vision that he's brought to our program. This week we unveiled our strategic plan, which is a pretty big deal for us.
Let's go.
That's right. Let's go. And there's a lot of good things about that I think folks, again, you know, our RCAF members and season ticket holders, as well as many other external constituents, received a mailing on that earlier this week, as along with us unveiling that publicly through press releases and some video content yesterday. So we're really excited about that. And obviously that's going to be more or less the guiding force or the navigation tools that we're going to use to make sure that we're continuing to build this brand the way we need to and take the trajectory of our program to new heights that we know, not just us internally, but externally, we know that this is an opportunity to really grow the Raging Cajuns, the athletic department, our sport programs, the experience for our student athletes, as well as this university's brand on a very not only local regional, but truly a national and global scale. So we're pumped up about that. But again, compliments to Dr. Maggard and our leadership team and everything we've put into that, because we're really excited to get to work.
Hey, the present's a lot of fun. The future looks bright. Nico, I appreciate the time as always, and we'll see you out there Saturday.
Go Cajuns.
He is Nico Yanko. A lot of fun visiting with the deputy AD for the Euro Raging Cajuns. We'll take our final break of the hour. Then we'll get back to that sink or swim question. Get them lined up in the queue. Spookiest sights in all of sports for you. After a brief timeout, we're coming right back to the Tap Room River Ranch with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
When I look out my window. Back in it. Final time. Just trying to keep up with Clint's spooky music. Final time for the 4 o'clock hour, that is. We got plenty of great guests coming aboard. Joining Nico Yanko, who is just with us. It'll be Gordy Rush in about 10 minutes. Talking to LSU football and Blaine Viator, prep football. We're going to give a new Acadiana area top five and revised PowerPoints updates. That's right. Everybody's starting to gear toward the PowerPoints. How high can you push that seed? Can you avoid the number one? All of those fun games coming up with high school sports. But I do want to touch on something that Nico said, because, again, we visit this topic a lot on the program. The idea of Cajun Field being a viable, I guess, contender to host these LSA championships. We've been hearing that Hammond basically wants to bend over backwards to get the whole package, football, boys and girls basketball, baseball, softball. They want it all, and they're willing to take a financial cut. And I think we all understand that's why the high school basketball titles aren't played in the Cajun Dome anymore. This city and the Acadiana area got tired of bending over to take that financial cut. Lake Charles did. McNeese and Burton Coliseum are happy to have that traffic, and so the hotels, the hospitality, the food, it all comes on the cheap. Lafayette's such a perfect venue for all of these high school championships, semifinals. It's just perfect. And the idea to have high school kids playing a state title game on Cajun Field is pretty exciting, and not just for people who live here like you and me, but for the kids as well. I mean, it's a great opportunity for the university too, right? Recruiting tool. So again, something to store away, because it is possible, especially now that the Cajuns aren't likely to be hosting that ball game. But I'm with Nico. I think a better than average chance that they are playing in that ball game, and the best likelihood of that would be on the road at the home of the App State Mountaineers. All right, I'll switch it up a little bit, CD. We gave our sink or swim question earlier. I'll reintroduce it now. And you're going to have to fill me in on all the latest social media response. Spookiest sight in all of sports. Lonnie called in and said it was Dave Smith peeking over that glove for the Oakland A's. Patrick gave us some pretty good stuff as well. A lot of baseball submissions there. I've been talking historic middle linebackers and what they say, the way they look. How about our social media response, CD? What are we getting so far?
Well, we're getting a lot of run on social media, and I like a lot of them. Todd G going with the huge fire outside the LSU-Auburn game, or Joe Theismann's broken leg, which we saw about a billion times on instant replay. Jason W dropping in with Shaq driving into the bench or the crowd. Heck, I'd even go for me in terms of Shaq. It'd probably be any time that he'd bring the rim down and just almost bring the whole court to its feet. Just how incredible that whole thing was. John Rocker coming from Bo G. And then finally, Mike T going with watching the Bay Area World Series when the earthquake struck.
Yeah, I'm right there with several of those. John Rocker is the physical, literally sprinting out of the bullpen version of what I gave with Mo Rivera. Mo Rivera is more likely to actually strike you out and go three up, three down, and mow down your team in the bottom of the ninth. Or I guess if it were at Yankee Stadium, the top of the ninth. But, yeah, Rocker coming out of that bullpen, literally sprinting, like 6'5", and just a mountain of a man. That's definitely a spooky sight. And we hadn't yet found any of the injury submissions until what we just got from Clint. And Fred Durst is here right now at the tap room. You got to give me a hug. live on the radio. This is amazing. I'll have to explain that later, but Limp Bizkit's Fred Durst just made an appearance. Oh, I'm sitting here trying to think about Joe Theismann's broken leg, and we've got a Fred Durst impersonator. Halloween's funny like that. But I'm with that, CD. I'm with that. It's a spooky sight anytime that you get, like, the pro throw injury. When you think about the kid playing wide receiver for Alabama back in the gap. Can't remember his first name, but the kid Ward from Louisville and the way that he twisted that lower extremity up in an NC2A tourney game for Rick Pitino in Louisville not that long ago. So, yeah, when you get these absolutely horrifying injuries, that's pretty spooky. And I'll give you one recently. It's amazing this cat's out there still playing football. But Mason Rudolph, a couple of weeks ago, I think they were playing the Baltimore Ravens. All I do know is that it literally looked like the man died taking a hit on the football field. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph. Clint, I know that you saw what I'm talking about.
He yes.
went completely and utterly limp from the moment he was hit. It was absolutely horrifying.
It was absolutely horrifying. You were just concerned overall for him. It was just like, it looked like this could have been like way worse than maybe it turned out to be. Because this one just looked like, yeah, he may not be able to kind of walk again after that one.
Hey, can I tell you before we get to our final word why the Fred Durst impersonator kind of caught me? There's not a lot that really gets me off my game when I'm doing a live radio show. You know what the thing is about that impersonator, Clint?
What's that?
It's a she. So a female bartender as Fred Durst absolutely just floored me there, and I'm only just now shaking the cobwebs out. Let's sprint to that one final word in this hour.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Unfortunate. No other word for the Astros Game 7 performance and the World Series result. Just unfortunate. Nats were hitting better late when it mattered. Their pitchers came through, and I think that Hinch went to the well one too many times with Will Harris. What could have been with Garrett Cole, we'll never know. And that, you better believe, is unfortunate. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We got 90 more minutes to go, including Gordy Rush in 5 minutes, so stick with us. More Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one. We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. 3 minutes after 5 o'clock, you've got Bumper to Bumper Sports and a Halloween edition live on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love hanging out with you. My pleasure to bring you home from the Tap Room River Ranch, the famous Clint D. Into from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Heck of a showing so far at the Tap Room, and a lot of great costumes. We welcome you to bring on your best. We'll shout it out on the air. Heck, we might even let you on the air to talk a little bit about your favorite team. I've got some of those requests out here, and if my main man Gordy Rush doesn't pick up the phone, we might have to go down that route. We do want to see if we can connect you with the LSU Sports Radio Network sideline reporter, and if Clint lines him up, we'll bring him to you post-haste. What I can tell you is this. The Astros let one slip through their fingers, and just a tough way to go out as well. You know, you follow sports, you follow a certain team, and you know there's not a lot more painful than coming up short in a Game 7 setting, especially at home. And one thing I didn't get to, my opening monologue. We went through an entire series where the road team won every time. And I was waiting for that trend to stop after about the third game. I mean, it literally is one of those things It's almost like saying, you know what, the Patriots are going to win unless somebody tells me differently, right? You just kind of get the feeling that way and thinking that way. Alabama football, perhaps. They're going to win unless, okay, Clemson kicks their ass in the national title game, which that actually did happen last year. But you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are certain things you just expect, and you don't expect for road teams to have sustained success in the World Series. Not when both of these teams had pretty darn formidable home field advantages. So that is something that isn't lost on me, because I thought it was going to extinguish after three games. It made it all the way through seven. And you heard the phrase yesterday as Brian McTaggart joined us live from Minute Maid. He said, this town, these people, these fans that are lining up in droves, he said they are cautiously optimistic after not being able to take it back and bring it home in game six. So Astros going to fall up just short, and now it's time to look toward next year, and that's a tough way to be. All right, still no Gordy Rush, and so I'll launch into some LSU-Alabama football talk here. I'll pilot this thing, and we'll take your phone calls. 706-0111. How this time feels different. And I don't just mean with LSU's chances in the ballgame. I will take your calls and your thoughts on that. But how does the lead-up and the build-up toward it feel different? Because that's what strikes me, some 9 days removed, that kind of moves me. The idea that LSU fans are highly anticipating the game, that's nothing new. Ditto for the team, its head coach. But I don't think it's been an obsessing point as it has been in years past. And that was really kind of attached to the Les Miles era from 2012 on. Obsessing over the Bama game. The mental hurdle. And it's persisted, for sure, into the Coach O era. As we say a lot on this show, and I'll give some credit to Ruff and Rodri. He drills this one home. And I think he's right. The way this team gets overhyped too early, not just in the day of the game, in the week, the 2 weeks that lead into the game after a bye week. Yeah, it's not always healthy, right? A fixation. And I feel this time around there's a confidence in that room. And it's not necessarily a quiet confidence. Not when Justin Jefferson is telling you everything that he said earlier in the week in the capital city. I think that there's a confidence. I think that this team feels as if it's going to go on the road and just do to Bama what it's done to basically everybody so far. Got to put up a certain standard offensively, certain point total, and can you match it? So for me, that's kind of what strikes me. This one feels different than some of the rest. Does it mean that the result on the field is going to be different? I think it could. No guarantee that it will. I think it could mean that an LSU team that's playing a little looser, that's taking its cues from Joe Burrow, he's been through this fire now. He understands what Bama week is like. He's been knocked silly in the UCF game, came back and put up a landmark performance, was knocked silly in the game against Auburn on Saturday, and, came back and immediately put up digits, threw down the field, led a touchdown drive, and led LSU to its eighth straight win to start this season. So I think that there is a chance that this slightly differing approach can lead to a different result. And then there's the idea that the game's at 2:30. Don't see how it could be bad. Don't see any way that could hurt the Tigers. And, heck, we've been talking about that on the show since August. So there are some things that feel different this time around. And I'm happy to take your phone calls on the subject, your early thoughts on the game at 706-01. 1-1. You know, the other on-the-field thing that I would say about this game, LSU's defense showing late in the Florida game, almost throughout in the Auburn game, the Tigers' defense finally looks like they're ready for prime time. They don't need to be put in the discussion with the 2011 group. I'm not even sure they're as good as they were last year. They certainly don't have the equivalent of a Devin White, but they're starting to show that they're well-rounded and that they're healthy enough to make a dent. I don't know if you saw what I saw, but Apu Aika was featuring a decent amount in the middle of that defensive line in the Auburn game. You need somebody to spell Tyler Shelvin. You don't want to be sliding in Rashard Lawrence, Braden Fajoco, if you don't have to that interior spot along the D-line. and you do want to have a number of options that can go at the second level. LSU's four linebackers, I don't know that anybody in the SEC would trade for them. Just my personal opinion. I don't know that anybody has Patrick Queen, Jacob Phillips in the middle, and the combination of Chaseaux and Donnie Alexander on the outside. And Michael Divinity. I'm getting my New Orleans area outside linebackers confused, but he was fantastic in that ball game on Saturday. So the more that you see of these guys like Divinity that are getting healthy, they're starting to play cohesively together. You got to give LSU, I think, every chance in this game. And I think there's a chance this is as competitive an LSU-Bama game that we've had in a while. It's going to be a different speed. I don't think it's played into the 40s. I think there's a chance the winner dips a toe into the 30s, but my gut's starting to tell me this one's played, and the winner scores probably between 21 and 27. If you think these defenses are going to be completely dormant, I disagree. Saban, Aranda, really, really strong defensive minds. You give them a couple weeks to marinate on this. Don't know the situation with Tua and his ankle, how effective he'll be even if he does play, which I bet he does. I think there's a chance this one's a little more defensive-minded than everybody thought as recently as 2 or 3 weeks prior. Just some things to think about. And something else to think on is we've got a new fall cocktail menu at the Tap Room River Ranch. I shared some of it already. The Southern Sidecar, the Perfection, the Irish Eyes, they're in and they're new. But you could pair them with the Always Summer in Baja. They've got every type of mixed drink for every type of crowd. But I do know this, you're going to come and have a good time at the Tap Room River Ranch, not just with the fall cocktail menu, more than 40 beers that are on tap. You've got the best flatbreads in town, the wings with the swing sauce, and then tonight, the exclamation point is live music, 8 to 11 with no cover charge. It's the place to celebrate Halloween and get your weekend started just a touch early. We'll take a quick recess. And on the other side of this timeout, I want to get into the Saints. We'll do that with you on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Little MJ, Thriller, playing back in, hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch. And I knew we'd get our man. I'm excited to have him here. Quickly, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. He is the LSU football sideline reporter. Wears a lot more hats than that. Gordy Rush with us. Gordy, how are you?
Hey, sorry. I'm also a father of three. We're getting everybody dressed here for Halloween, so I do apologize.
It's not a problem. What are the costumes tonight? Give me the rundown.
Well, we got my daughter's an angel. I don't know what the hell my oldest is, and then we got a Fortnite character I'm really not familiar with. So that's what we're rocking tonight.
I love it. Hey, we'll be brief, no huddle style, and talk a little LSU football. Does this two-week stretch leading into the Bama game feel any different for you being inside that bubble than maybe the last few years?
You know, for me, it's got a little bit of been there, done that sort of thing. Not that that's the wrong way, right? I mean, it's obviously there's going to be some buildup. But, you know, there's also the intrigue of knowing that LSU's going in with perhaps their best quarterback that they've had in arguably the last decade. And you know, Alabama's got some holes on defense, right, with all the linebackers that are down. And so you feel like, you know, LSU's not going in just so deficient on offense as they have in years past.
Gordy, is this one destined to be more of a shootout, as many thought as recently as a couple of weeks ago?
I think so. I absolutely think so. I don't see a 9-6 game. I don't perhaps see Oklahoma, Texas, but somewhere in between. Yeah, I think there's got to be more offense, you know, than there were, you know, been the last couple of years.
Talking LSU, Alabama with Gordy Rush on 103.7 The Game. Burrow, we understand. I think at this point he's going to get his. But this LSU running game really has taken flight. How much can that be a factor in this one?
Well, I think it's a huge factor. You know, after the Auburn game, went back and looked at the film, Ben. It's been documented in a lot of places. But, I mean, the fact that Auburn had three defensive linemen, one linebacker, and seven DBs, that it was that adjustment that that's what they wanted to take away was the pass. Mississippi State also, you know, went to we talked about it last week. They went to what we call brackets, double covering Jefferson and Chase, and they allocated more people to the pass. So the numbers made sense up front. LSU ran the ball against Mississippi State, and LSU ran the ball against Auburn. I mean, Clyde went for 130-plus. So what you're seeing out of LSU, they're going to take what you give them. Burrow, get his. But if you're going to back up and defend the pass, they can run the football.
Tua, I guess your thoughts on the ankle injury, and, again, I'm not going to ask you to play doctor, but his chances maybe playing this year as compared to last year where he was dealing with something seemingly a little serious.
Well, I can only go off of, you know, with Glenn Logan. It took him 4 to 5 on a similar type surgery. Now, look, no two injuries are the same. My best guess is he plays. He can't be 100%, right? And then, you know, it brings up the whole strategy for you know, Alabama and Nick Saban, right? And that with Oklahoma losing, you don't have to win this football game to get to the bracket of four, to the playoffs. And so if he's not 100, do you play him here? Whereas if you play him against LSU, he gets hurt more, and he's not healthy for Auburn. So, you know, I'm intrigued to see what the decision is. If you told me what's my best gut, I think he plays, and I don't believe he's 100%.
This game being played at 2:30, that make any difference for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, rarely do you, you know, there's a big difference in the atmosphere in Tiger Stadium between Florida and Auburn, and there were different factors. But, you know, I think it's probably an advantage somewhat to LSU to play that game at 2:30.
I would get you out of here with this. Your kids are getting dressed up. You don't understand exactly what all of them are in costume terms. Are you masking up, or are you just going as the sideline reporter for LSU football?
No, I'm not going. I'm just putting a jacket on, and I'm trying to put a hood on and just kind of enjoy the night. There's no costume here. Once you get past 50, there's no costume.
That's fair. Hey, thanks for putting us on. I appreciate you putting up with us as well. Gordy, we'll talk next Thursday.
All right, brother. Happy Halloween. Take care.
There you go. Gordy Rush. Glad we got to just kind of slingshot him in while we could. Didn't want to keep him long. Clint, I feel like I actually heard maybe some construction, costume design, for sure, some costume application and putting on of the angel for his daughter. So I'd hate for her to remember this Halloween as the time that Dad did an interview with Ben in Lafayette. I don't think Uncle Ben ever gets that call back.
Yeah, I can about imagine that. That's not going to end well, but Mike, that's a great analogy there.
So there's something else, again, doing our best to go draw some plays up in the dirt, right? Thought we'd have Gordy at 5. We didn't. So I went with some self-evaluation. Okay, not of myself, but I evaluated myself, the LSU-Alabama game. And then we just heard from Gordy. I wanted to get that in there quickly. That leaves us time to play something for the 5 o'clock crowd that our 4 o'clock guests were treated to as we opened up a Halloween B2BS show. And that would be Washington State football head coach Mike Leach preparing you for trick-or-treat in a way that only he can. So if you're like Gordy, and you've got the youngins that are gearing up, and you're gearing up to take them out there, here are some of his best pearls of wisdom, advice on how to trick-or-treat from the head pirate.
Mobility. Make sure you have mobility with your costume. Make sure you can get around. Make sure it's warm enough so that you can get as much candy as possible. And then as soon as you get it, immediately hide it. Because your brothers and sisters will try to steal it, especially older ones. I was the oldest, I know. And then the other thing is, make sure the good stuff is out of the regular stuff, because if they find your stash, you don't want them to find the good stuff, like the full big Tootsie Roll or like the candy bars, you know, the full candy bar, not those little bitty two-inch ones. You know, that type of thing. So, oh, and then how about the dentist? We had a dentist, he'd give you a toothbrush. That's what you got, a toothbrush with, hey, by the way, here's my dentist's office, come there. Yeah.
It just continues to dumbfound me, so I'm glad we had a chance to share it with our 5 o'clock crew. Hey, how about some late-breaking news, CD? I made reference to that NBA scuffle last night. Minnesota, Philly, mixing it up like game 4 of the regular season. But this is more about, I think, an internal thing. A couple of centers, young, up and coming, want to make their, I guess, presence felt on the league. Karl Anthony Towns, Joel Embiid, and they scrapped last night. And Ben Simmons got involved. I haven't seen Simmons' name involved in any of the punishment that was just handed down, but both Embiid and Anthony Towns have been suspended 2 games. And so I'll put it to you, Clint, and I'll basically make it our de facto sink or swim part due. Is that just 2 games for these guys after last night?
I think 2 games is just considering the fact that it was just those two. It wasn't like a complete, like, outright Donnybrook like we've seen in some games in the past. It didn't go to a semi-pro, you go to commercial break and somebody hits somebody type situation. So I think it definitely was apropos, only 2 games, because it was just really an isolated incident with those two cats.
I know this. So far, the Sixers, I mean, understandably, have been downplaying Ben Simmons' role in it, saying, hey, he didn't do anything. He wasn't fighting anybody. He was protecting his teammate. He put Karl Anthony Towns in a chicken wing headlock. I mean, literally had his neck in between the V that his arm was making. And if you watch the video from a certain angle, it kind of sort of looks like Big Cat Karl Anthony Towns was tapping out UFC style. So I'm just going to throw that out there, and let's not look past it completely. Benny Simmons probably needs to have a little bit of the book thrown at him for this one. Just my 2 cents. Hey, we'll take yours as well. We've got some time. Our next scheduled guest in 35 minutes, Blaine Viator, will sit in live and talk prep football. We're going to revisit our Acadiana area top 5 teams, and we've got one new team apiece who has crashed it, and we disagree a bit on where another should land. That much I can tell you. And I also promise you, we ain't playing devil's advocate. It's genuinely what we came up with. We compared some notes earlier this afternoon, and we have some doubts and discrepancies toward one another. We'll also start to talk PowerPoints as everyone's getting closer to the select and non-select playoffs. And that's a good platform for me to remind you as well. Had a really good interview with Nico Yanko with the Cajuns Athletic Department. If you missed it, it's up on the website. Just go to 1037thegame.com, click or tap on demand. But one of the things Nico said is that the possibility certainly exists for Cajun Field to host the LSA state title games. Who might that affect? All right. Locally, let me count the teams. St. Thomas More, Turlings Catholic, a couple of options at the Division II level. Nobody in Division I. That's Catholic Baton Rouge and John Curtis territory. And, yeah, I do think it'll be those two playing one another. In Division III, sure, a lot more opportunity there as well, right? Again, there are a lot of teams in this area that have a chance to qualify and do some damage there. The Pios of Notre Dame, certainly. They've been doing it at that level for quite some time. Catholic New Iberia has been there, but we got some others that I think have joined that fray as well. LCA certainly amongst them. They've won the last 2 Division IV state titles. And speaking of Division IV, that's when I've got to mention Vermilion Catholic. And probably should shout out OC as well. Have I forgotten a school or two? Maybe, but I don't think so. Still, that's a lot of local representation that would have a chance to play a state title game at Cajun Field. And I think there would be a lot of local representation in the stands. That would be a very cool thing. All right, we're going to take a brief timeout, and then we're right back in.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
And back to a world that no longer includes Major League Baseball. First time we could say that for more than half a year. And for that entire, I don't know, six, seven, maybe 8 months, I think many of us believe the Houston Astros would indeed take it back. They didn't. And that leads me to some shade that I'll chunk here momentarily. Something that happened in the direct aftermath rubs me the wrong way, and I think it should you as well. I don't often try on this show to tell you how you should think or feel. I've learned in my 35 years on this earth that that typically doesn't go well. Can't really tell people how to think and feel. But on this subject, I feel it's imperative. And so I'll explain that momentarily. But I want you to hear at least a little bit from Astros manager A.J. Hinch, because my shade has to do with Gerrit Cole. And with that in mind, here's what the Astros manager said on not going to Gerrit Cole once he made the decision to pull starter Zach Greinke.
I wasn't going to pitch him unless we were going to win the World Series and have a lead. I mean, he was going to help us win. I didn't want him. He was available, and I felt it was a game that he was going to come in had we tied it or taken the lead. He was going to close the game in the ninth after I brought Osuna in had we kept the lead.
I just have a couple of issues with that, and I don't make a habit out of second-guessing Jeff Luhnow in the front office, A.J. Hinch really as often as most people do in the dugout. But I take some exception to that. If you weren't going to throw Cole until the ninth, why was he out there visibly in the bullpen and starting to chunk the pill a little bit in the sixth? I don't know. I'm having a hard time digesting that. He's feeding it to me. I just don't know that I want to swallow it. In fact, I think I'm regurgitating it right now. Now, I'm definitely repulsed by what was said in the direct aftermath of the game last night by Gerrit Cole. And I think I'm already prepared to start referring to him, Clint, as former Astro pitcher Gerrit Cole. And because I think that's how he's starting to think of himself a little bit. You don't have to believe me. I'm going to go straight to the horse's mouth here in a moment. But not before I remind you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. And check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that they're going to help you customize the perfect experience for your patio. You're going to have the baddest patio game on the block. You'll have friends and family over as often as you want or as seldom as you want. But you're going to enjoy that bad boy. And only when you take a trip to the website. Let the ideas percolate when you visit patiocenter.com. They are the kings of customization, and it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
We like to think, CD, that there are cameras and microphones everywhere. And for the most part, there are in the 2019 world that we live in. But there's no chance that any microphones picked this one up. This was something that was kind of said behind the scenes, right? This is the kind of thing, think back to when the Panthers went to the Super Bowl, lost to the Broncos, and Cam Newton really didn't want to go out and talk. You didn't necessarily see that. You had to have people that were there tell you about it. This is like that. But I'll give the credit at HunterAtkins35 on Twitter. He's got that blue verified check next to his name. Must be somebody. Here's what Hunter Atkins tweeted at 11:17 p.m. last night. Again, direct aftermath of the Astros losing Game 7 of the World Series. I'll read the entire tweet for your context. Gerrit Cole, an impending free agent, was resistant to talk after Game 7. Quote, "I'm not an employee of the team," he said to an Astros spokesperson. "I guess as a representative of myself," end quote, and then he spoke briefly. What in the hell is that? The game was barely even over. The body wasn't even cold. You're still wearing Astros gear. You played for the team for 162 games this season and a near historic postseason run. And yet, within 30 minutes of the game being over, that's what you have to say. Again, I'm going to repeat, I'm not an employee of the team. Dude, did you just get unshackled from prison? I'm no longer in this capacity. I shouldn't have to talk in this capacity. Who are you? And who the hell thinks that way? I know that since then, Gerrit Cole has released a statement that's on social media where he thanks Astros fans, talks about the historic season. And I usually like to give people second chances or an opportunity to either apologize or crawfish, backtrack their words. But this is BS. And in this case, I'm going to have a hard time letting you crawfish out of this one. Less than 30 minutes after a game, I'm not an employee of the team. I guess as a representative of myself. So that's my next question. What are you, Les Miles? I represent myself in this matter? Prior to the 2007 SEC title game? What the hell is this? From Gerrit Cole, I was blown away when I woke up this morning and saw that. Game was over. I went to bed last night. I got responsibilities. I got to wake up in the morning and do things. I'm not rehashing things, but when I woke up in the morning and saw that, I just about lost it. I'll speak as a representative of myself. He was resistant to talk until he came to that realization. The team goes down, and you are just gone pecan, huh? And so I suppose that that's why I'm ready to start referring to him as former Astros pitcher Gerrit Cole, because I think that's exactly how he already thinks of himself.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
My coach didn't put me in. The game ended 30 minutes ago, so I'm not an employee of the team. All right, big dog. I guess take your AL Cy Young and go to the Dodgers. Whatever works for you. I understand free agency. I support his right to shop himself out and make the most money possible in a sport that doesn't have a salary cap. I support all of that. I get free enterprise. I get it all. I really do. But internally, to have that kind of attitude, that's just tough. That one's difficult for me to swallow. So I wanted to make sure I shared that. And again, I often don't like to tell you how to think or feel, but I would suggest that you feel a little peeved about that if you're an Astros fan. You've given a lot to him, and he's given a lot to you too, in fairness. But to think that already he ain't a part of you anymore, that's a little too quick for me. All right, quickly, I got to head into the final break of our 5 o'clock hour. We'll take your calls, your reaction to what I just said on the other side, and then we'll preview a little Thursday Night Football and the NFL Week 9. That's coming ahead. That and more, plus Blaine Viator at 6 o'clock. We'll take a brief timeout and then back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports live at the Tap Room River Ranch.
Sony.
Geico presents Monster Counseling.
Dracula, tell me how you're feeling.
No one understands how lonely it is. No one will even let me into their house. I knock and I knock, but they ignore me.
Uh-huh. What else?
I look in the mirror and... I don't even see myself anymore.
If you don't see yourself clearly, can you really expect others to?
I'm having a breakthrough.
It's not easy to be a vampire. But with Geico, it's super easy to switch and save hundreds on your car insurance.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports. But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
48 minutes after 5 o'clock. Who are you going to call? B2BS. And you can hit us up anytime. 706-0111. A little Peter Frampton action. I think there are a few people that feel like I feel as it pertains to Gerrit Cole. Clint, how about three different texts? Or why don't I say it a different way, a more accurate way? Three different people texting in the break about what I had to say there, throwing shade at Gerrit Cole. I think a lot of Astros fans to say that they were turned off by what he had to say after the game and how he was standoffish, the way he approached it, that might be an understatement. So I know that you are, I mean, as big of an Astros fan this side of orbit, so I'll get your two cents on the subject.
I was not a big fan of that either, Ben. And, you know, I'm going to make a parallel here just because of this reminds me of something happened a few years ago in 2016 after the Cajuns lost in the New Orleans Bowl to Southern Miss. Eli McGuire made it out to the podium, but then they tell us, hey, he's not taking questions, he's not answering questions. it felt almost exactly like that. But at least Gerrit Cole actually spoke to the media for, like, even for the briefest of moments. But it's still just a chicken bleep move.
Clint, I attended that game as a fan, right? I didn't cover it. What was some of the thought that went into that? Why didn't he go to that press conference and speak?
No, well, he did go to the press conference. I was at the podium and just sat there, never answered any questions. They told us not to ask him any questions.
See, that's kind of weird to me. I don't know if I completely understand that. Clint, there's a movement going on that we need to put people at the bar on the air, and it's Halloween. I don't see what could go wrong with that, creeping up on 10 minutes until 6 o'clock. I don't know what could go wrong with that. We're going to have Blaine Viator on here in about 11 or 12 minutes. That's basically just one notch above taking a guy out of a bar and putting him on the air. So, hell, why not? We might just do that. We are taking calls, so we can go that way. 706-0111. I had this segment earmarked for at least a little bit of Thursday night football conversation. I guess I'll sashay that way. I can't really wrap my mind around this being a terribly exciting week. I know that you probably got fantasy implications. I do too. I guess I'll keep doing this fantasy thing for a little while. But the games aren't exactly slamming. And the one that could have been still kind of marred by injury. Vikings at the Chiefs. Clint, it's the only game of the weekend on the NFL docket that doesn't have a line associated with it. So with Pat Mahomes still assumed injured and out, Matt Moore still in, nobody really knows how to treat that game. Vikings have been treating opposing defenses quite rudely lately. And so I think there's a chance that Kirk Cousins and Skoll Nation go into Arrowhead and run their record to 7-2. That would be five straight wins. And the Purple People Eaters, well, maybe they're happy that Thielen, Diggs, bitched and moaned a little bit about their role in the offense. Those guys are catching balls. Kirk Cousins is throwing them, and they are starting to post W's. If I look at some of the other marquee games on the Week 9 slate, Colts at Steelers in no way should be considered marquee. Steelers are 3-4. Here's my problem. I don't understand how I'm supposed to rally behind Mason Rudolph. They beat the Dolphins. They came from behind to beat the Dolphins. And look, just like the 72 Dolphins get together and pop the bubbly every time there's not an undefeated team left anymore, are some of those awful Lions teams for earlier this decade going to get together once the Dolphins finally win a game? Is that how this works? I don't know. But I don't think that there's a chance that the Steelers can get over on Indy this week. Colts on the road. I'll take Jacoby and Brissett and company. Colts just feel like a team that have a chance this year, not just to be better than expected, but maybe to make a little run. They're 5-2. Yeah, I know they're in the same district, or I should say division, as the Houston Texans, but Houston's on a little different arc right now. Just a little bit different. Speaking of those Texans, they're on the road at Jacksonville. Oh, I'm sorry. They're taking on Jacksonville. Texans, Jaguars, AFC South game that'll be in foggy London town, 8:30 a.m. Central time. We'll get that ball game from London in Wembley Stadium. So it's a bit of a weird weekend, CD, and it starts tonight, a game that's got a double-digit spread attached to it. 49ers, 10.5-point favorites on the road at Arizona. Jimmy G and company, only undefeated team left in the NFC. And so Saints fans, they know that they're rooting for the Cardinals here. I don't know that there's a lot of chance that Arizona actually wins this game. Kyler Murray and that offense, I think they showed their true colors when they take on a good defense. We saw that against New Orleans a week ago inside the Dome. But the 49ers are going to be without a number of running backs, possibly without former Georgia Southern Eagle Matt Breida. I know Jeff Wilson. They got a couple other guys that have some lingering issues there. And that's the kind of knowledge that I could only accrue from fantasy football, right? I don't give a damn about the 49ers backfield. And so I'm kind of upset with fantasy football for making me know who these people are. Clint, you probably knew who Matt Breida was from Sunbelt purposes. I wish I didn't.
Trust me, I think a lot of people would much rather forget about Matt Breida and hope that they would have a guy like David Johnson at least somewhat be healthy, because that guy has always been a solid, reliable guy in terms of fantasy, and the Arizona Cardinals are sorely missing him. And they've got an uphill battle because of the fact that they don't have a true run game to really rely on, and you have to kind of see your boy Kyler Murray get things done.
Yeah, different teams there, amigo. Breda plays for the San Francisco 49ers. But you're right. The Cardinals, without David Johnson healthy, playing well, they tried to go down the line to Chase Edmonds. In the last couple of weeks, he was awful. I mean, just woeful against the Saints. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the Kyler Murray and show in Arizona. Basically, how many times can he find former Texas A&M Aggie Christian Kirk? How many times can he throw it down the field and use his legs? It ain't like being at Oklahoma anymore. And so Kyler Murray really having to do it all. But you're right, Clint, that running game nowhere near where it has been with David Johnson healthy in the recent past. A few more moments where we can take phone calls. 706-0111. We're shutting the phone calls down at 6 because our game plan, Blaine and I are going to go live from 6 to 6:30, and then we'll send you to NBC Sports Radio before you get a healthy dose of the pregame show. Out in the desert, 49ers and Cardinals will have the ball game tonight. And, Clint, it takes a little bit of getting used to. I'm so used to throwing our Thursday show to the Astros playoff games. Not the case anymore. So life post-MLB, it's taking some adjustments. At 7 o'clock, you will have the pregame show tonight. 7:20 is kickoff in the desert between the Niners. So that means ample time to listen to Jim Gray interview Tom Brady. And I know that's the favorite part of your week, CD. I know that it is.
Yeah, that is pretty much the most entertaining part of that pregame show. When you hear, hello, everybody, welcome. It's Jim Gray here talking with Tom Brady about all this other stuff. And then, oh, hey, I'm talking with Larry Fitzgerald about the University of Phoenix.
That's actually not bad. So between that and your Mattress Mac impersonation, you get some kudos from me. And poor Mattress Mac. They were showing old boy on TV a lot last night. I think Darren Rovell was personally following him from the mothership for Twitter updates. Our boy Mattress Mac just wanted to give you free mattresses. That's all he wanted. And then, you know, to win about $13 million in accrued bets from Biloxi up to AC and in New Jersey. So he had some great designs, just didn't fall his way. All right, quickly, I was talking NFL. Let me land the plane. Patriots at the Ravens probably is your game of the weekend. I don't think it's particularly close. I know the Ravens are 5-2. I know they're coming off a bye week, and Lamar Jackson, your number one rated fantasy quarterback so far this season. Tom Brady's one hell of a reality quarterback, so give me the Pats to go into Baltimore and lay a bit of a beatdown on the Ravens. All right, we are 2 hours in. We got a half hour to go, and it's time to get preppy. Blaine and I will reintroduce our revisited area top five. Throw all the teams and all of the divisions and classifications together, and we got five on it. That and more when we return. You are dialed into a Halloween edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, having fun and just dishing out treats at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Welcome into our third and final hour on the program today. Heck, let's call it our happy hour as we're live at the Taproom River Ranch. I'm Ben Love. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. The famous Clint D going to do his best to keep me and our next guest in line for the final 30 minutes of today's show. Blaine Viator is aboard at the Tap Room. You don't have a costume. You just have a Saints hoodie on. So is this like a fusion of Belichick and Peyton?
I mean, come on, man. This time of year, the weather's just beautiful. I had to rock the hoodie today, and We had a gumbo cook-off at work, so I've been out in the elements since bright and early this morning. We started cooking about 5:45, Ben, so I've been rocking this hoodie all day long and having a great time. I couldn't be happier to be over here at the Taproom River Ranch with you guys today. And, hey, man, great crowd. I got folks from my company. We out here, ViMids, representing. We got quite a few folks here, and we couldn't be happier to be here with you guys today.
If you guys are celebrating Halloween as a holiday beginning at like 7 or 8 in the morning, I want to come work with you guys. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen The Wolf of Wall Street when your boy Leo is sitting at the diner table and Jonah Hill walks up to him and he tells him how much he makes and he says, prove it. And he just whips out his check out of the briefcase and he's like, if you make that much money, I work for you. If you guys are getting down on Halloween that early and you could prove that to me, I work for you. Somebody else will do this stupid show.
I mean, look at this, man. We got folks out here dressed as Pinky Blinders, Run DMC. We had a really good time today. We had Michael Jackson Thriller Group, so a lot of fun. I didn't participate in the dressing up portion, but we had a lot of good gumbo and had a brilliant time.
Gordy Rush joined me about an hour ago, and he said you don't dress up once you pass 15 years old. You buying that or you selling that?
I'm selling, like, by a ton, man. Okay. I don't know. All right. I didn't dress this year, but, hey, look, man, there's some times that, you know, folks got to get out there, step out their comfort zone, have a good time, and live your life, man. That's all it's about, right? Hey, look, if you put constraints on when you could have fun, that's no fun to me. Just get out there and have a good time wherever you please.
All right, we'll switch it from bumper to bumper life advice to B2BS and talk some sports and no BS about it. There has been fluctuation, I think, at the top of our top five, and we really haven't gone down this road in at least 4, maybe 5 weeks. In fact, I think the last time we did it, we gave a top three. But we're going to flesh it out because we know a little bit more now. We're going to go area top five teams. Let's do this. Give me your 1 through 5. In that order, we'll diagnose after because I want to see – and I want our listeners to understand how our lists differ. So 1 through 5, beginning with 1.
All right. It wasn't too hard for me, to be honest. I mean, I've been watching or keeping up with these teams. I've only seen film on some and seen some up close and personal. But for me, number 1 is Acadiana. You've seen that Wrecking Rams offense. You know that Bear offense, how good they are. I got them 1. STM's number 2. I'm going to get to see them tomorrow night up live in person. They're pretty good. Number 3 to me, Westgate. Look, Westgate, ton of athletes. We knew how good they would be. They were able to beat STM, not even a month ago. So you know how good those folks are. Then I got that number 4. I got LCA. Look, I don't care that LCA lost to Westgate. That's part of the deal, right? I got STM over Westgate.
LCA beat Westgate.
I'm sorry. I don't care that that happened. I've got Westgate under STM, even though that STM's beat Westgate. So I got LCA at number 4, and number 5 for me is Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's still one of the top teams of their classification, and they'll play for a state championship, in my honest opinion.
All right, let's correct those transitive properties there. LCA beat Westgate in the Barry, but Westgate beat STM
correct.
In the Barry. So that's what we know.
A lot going on, right?
A lot happening. I don't disagree with the teams that you have selected. I disagree a bit with the order. And then I'm going to do a little bit of bet hedging, if you want to call it that, at the end.
I mean, we're only talking about high school sports. Man.
That's true. All right, we got to talk betting at some point if we're talking about kids, right? We agree it's Acadiana STM 1-2. And I said prior to the season, STM, I thought had a chance to be the best team in the area, maybe with a little bit of a gap. The gap has been closed, and to date, they have been surpassed, at least for the interim, by Acadiana. This is obviously subjective. We'll never get to prove it on the field. They wouldn't have been in the same grouping even if we didn't have a split. Acadiana has put a record on paper that's just too darn impressive.
No, and look, STM, their defense is much improved.
Yes.
From last year.
But the offense,
just think this,
not what it was?
They're just not clicking on all cylinders like they were a year ago. Acadiana on the opposite, their offense is clicking. They're getting it going. Look, they're putting up gobs of points each and every week. I think, in my opinion, if Acadiana and STM played on a neutral field tomorrow, Acadiana would win that ball game, and I'm not sure that it would be within 7 points.
Oh, I think it'd be close. I'll tell you this. It wouldn't be played like STM Catholic Baton Rouge was. Acadiana's defense is better.
Right.
They're going to force you to play a different style.
Would be played in the 20s, right? We could agree with that.
I think the winner of that one scores somewhere between 24 and 31. Yeah, that's probably fair.
But the spread's not 28.
Danny Jones somewhere is going to just smack you upside the head. And by
I love you, Danny. I really do.
And by somewhere, I mean the Cougar Stadium press box. And by when, I mean about 24 hours from right now. We agree. It's Acadiana STM 1-2. I've got LCA at 3. I've got Notre Dame at 4. And I've got a tie for 5th between Karen Crow and Westgate. Let me start at the top of my little disagreement with you. LCA beat Westgate. I'm going to go tie to the runner here. And I also am incredibly impressed with what LCA has put on paper by beating the Pios of Notre Dame. Because here's my point to you. Other than the win over STM, what has Westgate done that really has floored you? They played a competitive game against Lakeshore. Props to them for that. But outside of that, played like a one-score game with Mish. Westgate has been very, very impressive. They beat Turlings, okay, so I should throw that out there and beat them pretty good.
Okay, they beat them with some
They beat them going away.
And I think a lot of what you're trying to say is you don't trust Ryan Antoine's squad.
No, I trust them more than I have before.
You've seen this before.
But I trust them to a higher degree than I have before. There's some of what you're saying that's true. I think I'm just trying to give more credit to LCA, who's won at Evangel. I'm trying to give more credit to LCA, who actually beat them in a head-to-head. LCA beat Notre Dame. They've got more impressive wins than Westgate does.
So, in my opinion, when I put together my top five, I looked at all the squads, and I said, look, if they play tomorrow, where would these teams rank for me, you know, in a power perspective? And you telling me that if LCA and Westgate played right now, you think that LCA would beat Westgate?
They beat them within the last 6 weeks.
Then why did you go with Westgate over STM? I mean, STM over Westgate.
I didn't.
So STM's a
you
better
did, brother.
Squad?
Look, I put it out in front of you. I'm letting you look at it numerically.
No, I'm asking you, why did you go STM over Westgate then? Why is that okay?
Because of Neville, because of the Holy Cross game, because of Plaquemine. STM has more quality wins, and they went toe-to-toe with Catholic of Baton Rouge, and in any universe could have won that game.
And I'm not denying that. I think STM is a better team than Westgate. I don't. If they play tomorrow, I got STM by 2 scores.
Dude, STM skull drug Neville. I mean,
right,
they absolutely crushed their face.
And since that happened, Neville came back to earth just a tad.
Yeah.
I'm not taking away what happened in that ball game and what they did against Catholic High Baton Rouge, who, in my opinion, is the best team in the entire state. It's very impressive. But what I'm saying is you're going to discredit Westgate for what they did on the field against STM?
No, I'm not. And if I'm not giving that win enough credit, I'll own that because we'll know it down the road. Because we're going to learn some things, right?
A couple weeks, though, Karen Crow, and
that's what I'm getting to. I think it's understood that you and I both have LCA and then Notre Dame right underneath them. Wherever we have them, that part's understood, right? Because they're neck and neck.
And they'll probably play again. Not the Mercedes-Benz Superdome,
that's
but
right.
Wherever that game may take place.
Well, we heard earlier today it could well be a Cajun Field. Nico Yanko told us.
I think that's a great opportunity for the Cajuns, too.
So, we both agree it's LCA, then Notre Dame. I've just got them 3-4. You've got them 4-5. Where we really disagree is where to put Westgate. And here's my point. Westgate's resume belongs closer in grouping, in my opinion, with Karen Crows right now than it does up there with STM and some of the real muckety mucks. And my point is this. I know that we're looking at form, and Karen Crows got arguably one of its top two or three best players injured for the season in Popcorn Prejean. And that's a bummer. But if we're going on resume, Karen Crow won at Sam Houston. I think that's one of the most impressive road wins of any team in this area so far this season. Just my personal opinion.
No doubt. I agree with that. Karen Crow
won at Sam Houston, and Karen Crow won at Turlings, which Karen Crow and Westgate now share that. They both have won at Turlings. And we know that's a pretty good team this year.
Not outstanding.
I know that Westgate won going away. Is that the difference?
They won going away, and they beat a St. Thomas More team.
Yes.
We've been pumping this team up for the last, I don't know, when the last season ended, the last 10 months.
Yeah.
We've been pumping this team up.
They've got the biggest win comparatively.
Right,
of those
in the
two.
Whole area.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you want to say the biggest loss versus the biggest win, that's your, you know, everybody got their own agenda and what they see as fair.
Karen Crow's only loss in this season is to
Acadiana, number one
Acadiana. And there's no shame in that game. In fact,
number
if you're
one
looking
five,
at
eight.
It, holding that team to 28 is starting to look like a bit of an accomplishment. Right
oh, no
now.
Joke. No,
for
no
Karen
joke.
Crow.
And look, Karen Crow's defense is starting to play with more moxie, more
yes.
confidence, and they're starting to get healthier on the defensive
side
of the football.
I got tied for fifth, Karen Crow Westgate, and you're right in what you said earlier. We'll learn about how those two stack up when they play a week from tonight. That's a Thursday night Week 10 game.
And I'm really excited about it. And, look, I know a lot of folks have discounted Westgate in the past. Look, they play really high, and then they come down. And we've seen it. As many athletes as they have, there's no excuse to only scoring against LCA, 0 points?
Yeah, they were shut out.
So
very low-scoring game against Nish as well.
But then against other teams, they've been able to put gobs of points. And they've got one of the best players not only in the area but the entire state in Kayshawn Boutte. Those guys are
they're putting
talented.
The pieces together this year, and they deserve more respect than in years past when they floundered a little bit. I'm with you on that. And I'm glad we disagree. And, again, this is natural. I think anybody listening could tell we didn't devil's advocate our list to be different. I think that Karen Crow has a couple of more impressive wins. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. Karen Crow's got more quality wins. Westgate has the most quality win of those two teams.
I wouldn't agree. Okay, I'll agree with that. But with Popcorn Prejean's injury for Karen Crow, it's tough for me. And I'm a Karen Crow homer. Everybody listening knows that. You understand that. I find it tough to believe that Karen Crow's going to be able to go on the road against STM and put up their best game and then come back home on a short rest against a Westgate team that beat STM. That's very talented. They got multiple D1 prospects and be able to put up a great game, you know, within, what, six games?
Karen Crow,
6 days?
Karen Crow splits those two games, and they're a top 7 or 8 seed in
right,
Class 4A.
Correct.
They lose both of those games, and they're probably about the number 11 or 12 seed in Class 4A. So this is a team that's going to host the playoff game no matter what. But I would say this, too. On that same token, I think Westgate's in a spot where – it's kind of similar. The worst Westgate's going to be is probably a top 12 or 13 seed in Class 4A as well.
No doubt. And look, Karen Crow was up to number one in 4A. They had the misfortune of playing Northside and Abbeville back-to-back weeks.
From power points.
Fell back to number six. They're not going to fall much further than that with the quality of opponents they can have the next 2 weeks. But I get what you're cooking with, Ben.
So we disagree a little bit on where LCA and Westgate should be positioned. It's a good conversation, and we're looking at a lot of the same teams. I just think Karen Crow deserves to be in this conversation. 7-1 type of competition, they're going to get some respect for me. And it's not just because I see it every week. It's what I honestly believe. And that's no disrespect to Eunice, who I think is clawing their way back up with a big win over Tioga recently. There are some other teams, even Turley's Catholic, that deserves to at least be within the realm of this conversation. But this was fun. All right, we'll take our final break of the program. When we return, we'll talk more about power points and where some of these teams slot in and what's ahead of some of the contenders in our area. Passionate and having some fun. That's the way you like it. After a brief timeout, we'll be right back to the Tap Room River Ranch with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes...
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in for the final time today, and yeah, we've got the power here at the Tap Room River Ranch, and we're going to talk power points. Ben Love joined by Blaine Viator. We just gave you our revisited area top five teams from throughout Acadiana. Now let's have an eye toward the playoffs. Two more weeks to go in the regular season, and then we're there. And partner, I want to start you off at the tip top. Class 5A, I'm going to specifically point out two teams that play one another tomorrow night. Southside, number 20 right now in Class 5A. Como is 31. What do you make out of that one? And it's got a chance, by the way, to be a brewing rivalry that starts tomorrow night.
I think so. I think these two teams are just natural to become a rivalry, and I think that game's going to be high scoring. Southside has a lot to gain in this ball game. Como's playing for their playoff life, right? If Como doesn't win this ball game, they might fall behind that 32 slate. But look, Southside could position themselves to get even higher. Como has to win for playoff purposes.
Lafayette High, I think, unfortunately, on the outside looking in, it's because of the way the schedule closes. I mean, to be completely honest, knowing that you've got to finish, I believe, with Sam Houston and then Acadiana, it's brutal. They had a chance to get that fifth win against Nish, couldn't get it done. Had a chance of getting it Southside, and I'm not sure that Rob Poole's team is going to have enough in the tank in terms of power points. But as we go to Class 4A, per the usual, brother, a lot of area teams with chances to go and to host. Karen Crow, currently number 6. Westgate, number 8. A couple other teams involved, like Cecilia, number 29. But let's focus in on Bro Bridge, currently number 10. What are the prospects for the Tigers of Palm Bro?
Well, I think Bro Bridge has an excellent chance to improve their rankings. This week they get to go to Opelousas, the Tigers. Now, look, they're not the greatest. They're at 2-5. But next week's where they get to really make their money. They get to play Livonia at home. Livonia 5-2 on the season. Really get to improve their playoff seeding in their favor, getting to host those guys and come up with a victory.
So in 4A, Caracol Westgate, we've already mentioned. They play each other a week from tonight. It's a Thursday night game. I believe the winner of that one has every opportunity to not only be a single-digit seed. In fact, I'll tell you, it's basically guaranteed. The winner of Caracol Westgate will be a single-digit seed. But I think the winner of that one also gets out of that realm of having to play the number one seed in a state quarterfinal matchup. I think that they're probably closer to that 4, 5, 6, 7 range. And all of a sudden, when you're there, you could really do some damage. You're in a position where you might host 2 playoff games at home. You could make a run if you're in that spot. And Bro Bridge isn't far from that number either.
Now, look, if Karen Crow is able to pull off the unbelievable and beat STM tomorrow night, as well as Westgate next week, they're going to be as high as number 4 or 5 on that list. And just like you mentioned, they're going to stay clear of everybody.
Who are the untouchables, by the way? The teams at the top of Class 4A that you just feel are kind of almost unimpeachable. They're not going to slip out of their spot.
Well, Lakeshore's been awfully good.
Yeah.
You saw they were able to do it against Westgate earlier this year. Bastrop, Neville, Tioga, Carr, just all the heavy hitters that we typically see. Edna Carr, I mean, what, they're in the state championship almost each and every year. But if Caracol could split these games, right, if they could beat STM or lose to STM and beat Westgate next week, or vice versa, it doesn't really matter when it comes to playoff proceedings, they'll probably finish him anywhere between 5-8 in the playoff seeding. And same thing for Westgate, right? So if Westgate's able to beat Caracol, they're going to finish in that area. If Caracol loses both, I don't see Caracol falling out of first-round hosting capabilities. They'll still be at around number 12 to 13.
I think it's very safe to say that Caracol, Westgate, and Bro Bridge will all be hosting first-round playoff games. Let's go now to Class 3A, and boy, is it cluttered. Let me run down 6 schools with an opportunity. In fact, if the playoffs started today, they'd all be in. Church Point, the Bears, number 6. Iota, number 10. Kaplan, number 18. Crowley, the Gents are number 20. St. Martinville, Vince Derwin's team, number 22. And Erath would be in today at number 30. Apologies if we missed anybody, but I don't think we did.
I mean, Kaplan, look, 4-4. Those guys are always in the mix when you're talking about football in late in October, early November. But, hey, how about Church Point? Started out slow, was able to beat a really good Iota team. They're only lost on the year. Those Iota Bulldogs are 7-1. And Church Point in at number 6 right now. And those Church Point Bulldogs.
Bears.
Church Point Bears, excuse me. They only have Mamou and Pine Prairie left to play. They might fall a little bit in the playoff seedings, but they're right there in the thick of things. I think Iota really needs to improve their playoff positioning. Unfortunately, they only have Northwest and Mamou left on the docket. I really think if I had my money on the line in 3A, the Church Point Bears are the team from this area that's going to make the serious run.
And that would have, I guess, them being maybe the best chance at reclaiming that Class 3A crown that Eunice won last year before moving up to Class 4A.
But if you really remember, though, Church Point was ever so close to really competing for that championship. They lost a thriller at Sterlington in triple overtime.
That's
that
right.
Sterlington team went on to play in the semifinals. So they were right there. I think this Church Point team is super close, and they have the docket and the schedule to prove it.
Hey, one interesting game. We're not doing a ton of previewing of tomorrow. We've made mention of STM hosting Caracol. I find LCA at Rain to at least be somewhat interesting, right? 2A visiting 4A. LCA hadn't been afraid to play anybody so far this year. I'll get your 2 cents there because Rain, they've not been world beaters in year one under Kane Guidry, but they do have a very impressive win in the recent history of their schedule.
I mean, look, Rain's 5-3 on the season. Their only losses are to Welsh, which is a bad loss. Welsh is 1-7. But they lost to Dutchtown, a 5A school that's 7-1. And North Vermillion, that's 5-3. I really think that this Rain team is much better than the schedule. The problem is, though, LCA is playing at a different level right now. I think they're playing with a ton of confidence after they were able to go on the road and win at Notre Dame.
But you know the game I'm talking about. 3 weeks ago, Rain beat Eunice 20-16, and that got my antennas up a little bit.
I agree. It's it's an eye-opener, but I really think that LCA, the confidence they're playing with, the number one team in Division III.
I would favor the Knights in that game.
I'm going with the Knights.
Don't get me wrong, but it's an interesting one playing up in classification. Per the usual, we've had a lot of fun. Blaine, thanks. Looking forward to tomorrow night. I'll be doing the show live from Cougar Stadium. I know we'll have you in tow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Ton of fun. A great matchup against two teams in 4A that are ranked really closely. And we'll have a good time over there, man. Always hospitable when you talk to the STM Cougars.
No question about it. Danny Jones might not even smack us for all of these four touchdown favorites cracks that continue to occasionally, get under the goalie's legs. Got to thank our guest today. Nick Oyanko, Deputy AD for the Raging Cajuns, was great in the 4 o'clock hour. Gordy Rush, we got him while dressing his daughter for Halloween, and no, that is not a joke. And then Blaine Viator has been with us for the last half hour. For our great guest and listeners, and for the famous Clint D. My name is Ben Love, and you've been listening to Bumper Sports live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Don't forget, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:25 your kickoff, Arizona, San Fran. It's Thursday Night Football.